Welcome to Off Script. I'm Will, one of your hosts. This is Ashley.
Hello. And today we're going to be doing a little market update on what we're seeing in the local market.
Yeah, we're going to talk all things numbers. We're almost halfway through the year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about what we've seen up until today.
Yep.
So all of our numbers are going to be pulled from January through end of May.
Okay.
As of right now. So I want to start by breaking up new construction and existing. So the numbers that we're going to be pulling are from our MLS. Mm-hmm. And we've combined just Douglas and Sarpy counties, total numbers. And we're seeing almost two different worlds in the new construction and the existing markets. And I'm probably sensing that you probably are feeling that, the difference between the two, because you have the luxury, right, of having, you know, tons of deals and clients. But you're both in new construction and existing. Are you seeing like a big difference between the two?
Yeah, I would say on the pre-existing side early on in the year, everything has been moving quickly. And for me, it still is if we're positioning the homes right. I would say new construction got off to a much slower start. Mm-hmm. January through, I would say probably April, were really slow compared to historically what I've seen over the last years. That we just weren't getting a lot of showing activity. We were holding firm on pricing. Nothing was really moving. But then in the last, I would say 3 to 4 weeks, we've sold a lot of specs. Like things are just moving all of a sudden. We're getting a lot more activity and showing. I would say probably like May, June is when things really started picking up on the new construction side of things.
Yeah, and the numbers really did show that. So if we start just with like our year-to-date numbers for new construction, we're down 10.2% in new listings. So inventory or listings coming to the market this year, down by 10%. Which when we started the year out, it was closer to 18, 16 in those first few months. Mm-hmm. And it seems like we're starting to catch up, which is what you're saying. Like we're bringing a little bit more to the market. Mm-hmm. Our pending sales for new construction, again, this is Douglas and Sarpy, are down 5.3%. That's been pretty consistent between like the 5 to 8% number. So when we have pending sales only being down 5% and then we're down 15, 16 for most of this year in new listings, that means that all the inventory that was on is now leaving, which means leaves less to choose from.
Yep. And that makes sense now that we're seeing that increased activity and things moving, and we're getting them moving very close to asking price or just with very few incentives now all of a sudden.
Yep. Yep. Closed sales down 6.5%. So we're starting to see these numbers catch up to last year. So like you were saying, over the past 2 months, we've really seen that drop a little bit more in new activity in the new construction inventory area. So with that, average days on market went from 61 to 86. Mm-hmm. Average list price stayed about the same. Mm-hmm. And average sold price here in Douglas and Sarpy County is right at 468.
For new construction?
For new construction.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of builders did price increases in January. Okay. So that was something that I saw on my end in the new construction world. And then just another thing, when we're talking like specs and pre-sales, all of the sudden, the pre-sale side of things are picking up as well in new construction, which makes sense to me because we're in June. Most builders are building a house anywhere in an 8 to 12 month time frame. And a lot of people, I think, also don't want to close on houses in the dead of winter. So we also see like a pre-sale uptick during this time because they're also trying to close on the house that they're building to be done in like the spring or summer of next year, especially if they have home sale contingencies and things they're working around. So I think it's like strategic on the client's end as well when they're building.
Yeah. The new construction role is very interesting because you like the numbers are 9, 10, 12 months out, you can you have to look a lot further out in order to see a difference. So if we see some things change in the existing home market, we know it's going to impact the next 90 days versus new construction like you're talking about is planning ahead, right? So how do you kind of almost blend those two? If you have somebody that's like, when's the right time to sell their current home if they're building and they're maybe 6 to 8 months out, are you putting it on the market 6 months before, or when's the right time?
Usually we put their home on the market when it's in drywall phase because we're typically, it depends on the builder, but typically 3 months out or so, maybe 4 months out from the home being built. And we don't want to get in a position where we can't close on time because builders have really, really expensive daily rates when you don't close on time. So I feel like I'm a little bit more conservative when I'm working with a client who's selling and they have to close on new construction.
Okay.
to make sure we hit those deadlines just because there's really hefty fees. And secondly, depending on the builder, a lot of builders actually require it. So sometimes we don't dictate that. The builder will require, like Charleston's a good example, you have to have your home on this date when we're building, and it's very far in advance, and they lock in when they expect you to have it, and that's part of their contract.
Okay.
So it kind of depends on the builder and the situation. But I would say, like, even though houses are moving quickly on the pre-existing side, I still am a little bit more conservative when I list just to protect them from all of those fees of not closing on time.
Yeah, and I feel like when existing, which we're going to get into those numbers here in a minute, when we see so much good activity in this existing side, you have a little bit more say on when you close and how you can negotiate from the seller standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you were talking to, you know, the buyer agents out there, right? Mm-hmm. And they're talking to the wins in the new construction world. Like, why go new construction? Mm-hmm. Instead of telling them exact numbers, I'm a numbers person, so I love talking about this. But how would you kind of high level discuss, like, here's how you win in the new construction market today?
Yeah. Well, I think builders are very incentive friendly, regardless of if it's my builder or other builders. I've noticed it across the board. Like, they like to stick to their list price if they can. Because they're also trying to control the price of the market and the integrity of their build and the value.
Mm-hmm.
So they're much more likely to offer you like big incentives. Like I saw, I think Hildy was doing a $15,000 one. THI was doing $10,000. They're off like big $10,000 to $15,000 in buyer's closing costs, covering all their closing costs, or rate buy downs. Like, don't sleep on rate buy downs right now, because we've had a lot of buyers winning in that area to get that mortgage payment down, even though they're having to go up in purchase price to get that new home. But I think that's how you win with builders, is focusing more on like the closing costs and incentive piece than trying to get money off of the purchase price. Now, I'm not saying you can't negotiate that, but they're much more likely to do the other, because they're, as a seller, they're more focused on, well, I want to maintain the integrity of the value of this when I go build the same house for other people, instead of seeing the fluctuation of the price across the market on their same build.
Okay. You talked about incentives there. Like, how does that conversation sound when you start that with the agent, or if it's the builder, whoever it is, right? Is it waiting for the right, you know, incentives being ran until end of June or whatever that might look like? Or is it about asking for it or writing in the contract? What's the best way to go about that?
I think ask. Like, I think, you know, some people think like there's no value in having a buyer's agent in new construction. And a lot of clients even think that they'll go straight to the builder. But I think that right there of like, if you don't ask, they may not tell you. Like, so if you're unrepresented, you're not asking all these questions because you're not educated, you might be missing out on really good opportunities. So as a buyer agent or having one, they're going to be asking those questions of what incentives are you offering? What discounts do you have? What warranties are you offering? And they might be able to get more things for their clients, because an experienced agent who's worked with new construction knows all of the different things to be asking.
That makes total sense. Okay. I like it. Anything else you want to add there when it comes like to the new construction side of things?
No, I would just say, like, if you're in the market right now or working with new construction clients, I wouldn't like wait till fall. It's, I don't think it's necessarily a better time come fall with builders. I think right now we're in that sweet spot of they've been holding on and sitting on inventory and haven't been seeing movement. Like, we're hearing it across the board. So right now is the time that builders are slashing prices and offering incentives. Like, we're in it. Summer right now, they're doing it.
I love it. Okay. On to existing.
Okay.
Your favorite here.
My favorite. No.
All right. So listings are up 10.6, and that is bringing things to the market. Pending sales is up 5.4%. So when you see a difference like that, it's not huge, but when you see a 10% up in listings and 5% up in sales, that means we're having some more inventory sit.
Yep.
Which is where you get that conversation that you're hearing all over the place of we're moving towards the buyer's market.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk about that here in a little bit, but that with pending sales being up 5.4% is awesome. Listings being up 10.6 is even way better, because we've needed inventory for a long time, 4, 5, 6 years. Closed sales stayed about the same, so 0.8% up. Average days on market moved from 15 to 17. Big mover.
Not bad.
And list to sale price is right around 99.1. Mm-hmm. So that means homes are selling at an average of 99.1% of list price, which this year really is the first year that we went under 100, or probably middle of last year, we probably hit that 100 mark and under, which is historically crazy, right? Because we spent so long above 100%. And then our average sold price in Douglas and Sarpy County is right at 336.
Okay.
So what are you feeling like in the existing market right now?
I mean, to me, like when I look at this at a high level, like if you compare what's happening nationally and you're seeing much higher inventory and all of the stuff that you see in the news and the media, like I would say Nebraska's pretty insulated with that. Like, don't watch what you're seeing on the national news. Focus on your local content and local information, because this is really healthy to me. This is not a buyer's market with what I'm reading on paper. I mean, to have your house sitting on the market on average for 2 weeks and a 99% list to sold price, like houses are selling at asking price still and selling relatively quickly, regardless of interest rates holding steady in the 6 to 7% range, which we're historically not used to over the last couple of years.
Right.
I feel like that's still a very healthy seller's market.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe headed a little bit into a neutral market because we're seeing the trend of uptick of listings and average days on market going up. But overall, I'm not in a panic mode of, oh, we're in a neutral or buyer's market a listing agent.
It's interesting because you'll hear clients talk about this. You'll mm-hmm. hear builders, developers, mm-hmm. agents, brokers, everyone's talking about, like, are we in a buyer's market? Are we moving towards that? And mm-hmm. like historically, it's always how many months of inventory. If we're at 6 or more months of inventory, then we're moving to a buyer's market. If mm-hmm. we have less than 6 months, seller's market.
What do we have now?
And we have probably somewhere between like 2 and 3.
Okay.
So what we've seen is that you've had this really, really strong seller's market for a lot of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
4 or 5 years. And then you see a little bit of hedge or a little bit of movement towards the buyer's market. And everybody's like, oh, like it's exciting too, right? It's exciting, but it's like, oh, we're in a totally different market. Rates are mm-hmm. historically at a really, again, healthy mm-hmm. number right now. If you zoom out, but people get so focused on what's been happening over a 5 year, you know, a 5 or 4 year time frame.
Yeah.
So I would say like we're seeing movement towards mm-hmm. a buyer's market, but we are nowhere close to a buyer's market.
Agreed.
So with that being said, like, You have to talk to clients where they're at, right? Mm-hmm. They're just entering the market right now
mm-hmm.
versus them having been in the market for how long you've been in the market.
Right.
So how are you having that discussion when someone's coming in like, it's a buyer's market, I can negotiate, I can get whatever I want. You know, if our agents are having to have those conversations, what's the best way to handle that?
I think setting expectations with a buyer consult first off and talking about what we're talking about here at a high level in a way that your clients can understand it, and then giving specific scenarios and situations that have happened recently in the market of explaining, here's how you win right now
mm-hmm.
and explain that to them. Like, yes, there's going to be opportunities to maybe get money off asking if a seller overpriced their house, or there's opportunities, and a good buyer agent is going to recognize those opportunities because they're going to know if they're in it every day looking at houses, when a house is overpriced, they're going to look at days on market, just like we're doing. If it's been sitting for 200 days and it's overpriced, you have an opportunity.
Yeah.
But also a good buyer's agent is going to guide you and know, it's one day on market, this house is priced right, this isn't the time to offer $20,000 under asking if you want to win this negotiation. So I think it's really all about setting expectations and telling them of like how you get an offer accepted in this market and going through those situations. And like you just said, meet them where they're at. If they're in a hurry to buy and they need something quick and they're wanting something turnkey, move and ready, well, that's what everyone wants. You're still in a competitive market as a buyer.
That's right.
If they're not in that position and they have time to wait, they're in absolutely no hurry, they can, like, they might be able to get more of a win, mm-hmm. but it's just going to depend on the buyer, their particular situation, and goes back to my point of why doing a buyer consult is so important, so you can meet your clients where you're at and understand what they're looking for. If you have an unreasonable client who's like, I only want to offer 50, 60 grand under asking right now, this still probably isn't the market for that person, unless
yep.
there's a listing agent that significantly overpriced houses.
Yeah. as an agent, what a great answer. And as an agent, your job is to manage expectations mm-hmm. and to manage emotion,
mm-hmm.
right, throughout the entire process, and then get them to the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important that you set really good expectations. I think you're probably, in my opinion, the best in the business to do it when it comes to listing sides. So how are you having that conversation early, which mm-hmm. I think you talk about price reductions, even when you're listing aggressively. I feel like you do a great job of setting expectations so that you don't find yourself, and I know a lot of agents mm-hmm. Probably have found themselves in situations where sellers are like, oh my God, it's been 3 days, we don't have offers, no showings.
Yep.
How are you setting expectations and managing that first 2-3 weeks on the market?
Well, I always bring it back to the data. So all of this is happening at the listing appointment as far as setting expectations, and I always start high level before I go granular, and I give them a big picture of what's happening in the market right now, kind of like what we just did, average days on market, 15 to 17 days, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm going more granular at their individual neighborhood level. But let's just use the data we have right now, 15 to 17 days. Like Mr. and Mrs. Seller, we can see that these four comparables that are very similar to your home, after I go through all the comps, on average are selling within, let's just say it's 10 to 17 days, which is what I'm seeing on most of my houses under 400,000. So I am still kind of seeing that like 2 to 3 weeks or under, usually 2 weeks. So when I'm talking to them about pricing, I'm explaining to them those first 7 to 14 days are going to be the most critical on market. So three things are going to happen when we list your house. One, we're either going to have little to no activity, absolutely no showings and no offers. Number two, we're going to have showings and activity and we're going to have an offer or two, or we're going to have lots of showing activity and offers. And I'm really just setting that from the very beginning that if scenario one happens, we know that we need to reposition and we've overpriced the house and we're not getting the demand that we're looking for. And we need to take advantage of those first 2 weeks on market. So I'm really like going over this during the listing presentation, but data doesn't lie. When you show clients the data and you show them the value of your home and then you explain days on market, it's just, I have them come to that conclusion themselves. Like if we're pricing your home at 400 and all of these houses have sold in 2 weeks, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, and we're sitting 3 weeks on market with no activity and no offers, what do you think we need to do? Mm-hmm. And I really, really try and focus on guiding them to the answer themselves so that it's not me versus the client.
Yep.
It's the client coming to that conclusion based on data. And I'm just helping set that expectation for them and then putting a plan together. If that happens, here's what we're going to do. And I agree. I do that on every single appointment, regardless if I think this house is going to sell right away. Like I always have a plan B with the seller at the listing table. Like if this happens, what do you want to do? And then I put a timeline on it. Mm-hmm. And then when do we want to do the reduction? So that way it makes that conversation so much easier 3 weeks later when I'm having to call them, or if I have to call them, to have a price reduction conversation.
Yeah. And I would say like, you're probably in any market, you're never going to get rid of this, but you're always going to have your sellers that think their home's worth more and want to put it on at a higher price.
Yep.
So how are you, if even after numbers, there are times when sellers want to list higher.
Yeah.
What are you saying? Like data show this, numbers show this. They're even like, I trust your numbers, but I want to list higher. Mm-hmm. Is that something where you're like, I'm not taking that listing, or?
It kind of depends. Like first I would probably ask them how they came to that number. Like it's always good to ask a question when you have a disagreement with a client instead of trying to like go back and forth and combat them. But more so I would dig deeper and ask questions of like, how did you come to that number? How did you, and then ask them like, if this happens, what do you want to do in those scenarios? Because I'm interviewing them as much as they're interviewing me. So if I have somebody who's like, I don't care, like this is just what I want to price it at, and they want to price it 70 grand over, and if it doesn't sell, then like, oh well, now I know I just am not going to sell my house. Like I'm also deciding if I want to take this listing.
Yep.
So I don't think there's a cookie cutter like yes or no of if they want to overprice it, will I not take the listing? Not necessarily. It depends how much they're wanting to overprice it. Are we talking 10, 15 grand of our recommendation? Or are we talking 70 grand?
Yep.
And then I'm also gauging their reasonability of how they are. It's just like a person of, okay, if this happens, how do you want to handle it? And if I'm getting a very reasonable seller, this just happened to me last week, we priced 20,000 over what our recommended list price was. And they were very reasonable. They're like, okay, I agree. I understand. We have a timeline to hit. We walked through the whole process. And they said, if it's not under contract, or I have no activity within the first 2 weeks on market, we'll drop it down to X amount. And then we write that in the listing agreement. So we have a plan. Had they not said that and were like, no, I'm just testing the market to see, I might not take the listing.
Sure.
It really just, it just depends on the scenario.
That makes perfect sense. Okay. Let's kind of transition to what we're doing and what it takes in this market. Now, knowing the landscape that we're in, I would say like what we're focusing on here is like skill sets. I feel like this market that we're in right now is 100% skill set based. So for us, it's really important to have really good data and numbers. So every one of our listings that our team, or our, the folks in our shared services model and core team, we double check their listing price and numbers and where they're, how they came to their listing price.
Mm-hmm.
Double check, triple check, just to make sure that we're, like you said, coming to the market appropriately.
Yep.
I'll talk to you. You can talk a little bit about our pricing spreadsheet, like how that's helped change your listing process with sellers. And then we'll talk about skill sets and coaching.
Okay. The pricing spreadsheet has been a game changer for me. So before, when I did comparables, feel like everyone does comps differently, so I don't know that there's a perfect right or wrong answer, but I pulled different houses and showed them pictures and kind of tried to get the ones very similar, but like I didn't do like an actual appraisal analysis or anything to really show credits of if you have a 3/4 bath and they have a half bath. It was just kind of general vague, like here's similar homes, let's land somewhere in the middle of this, or yours looks a little nicer, let's land on the high end. And that was my comparable analysis.
Gut feel, right?
I mean, it was gut feel kind of when I first started out. And now we have an actual pricing spreadsheet that has a whole formula built in that puts in the credits and adjustment based on all of the things an actual appraiser is going to use when the appraisal happens. So I feel like it's built a lot of confidence with my sellers because I come into that appointment explaining like, this is going to happen unless we get a cash offer regardless, and the whole appraisal process is going to be done. I've done this ahead of time at the listing table to show you exactly where it's probably going to fall from a value standpoint. Now there's the marketing amount that like the marketing dollar amount you may be able to get versus like the appraisal amount can look a little bit different if you really present it well. Yep. But at the end of the day, it's been extremely accurate. And I feel like it's built so much confidence because I go through it with the seller. First, I have them analyze their house and I make sure I didn't miss anything with bedrooms, graph, square footage. So I'm having them be part of the process. And then I'm only going through one with them because it would take forever to go through all four line by line. But I do go through one entirely line by line of how the adjustments work so they can see. And I'm asking them questions and I'm like, do you agree with this? When you look at this photo versus this one. So they're engaged in part of it. And now when they're part of the conversation and then they can see where the numbers land, it makes it so much easier to have that conversation with them and not feel like I'm against them, because it's really hard to like go against the grain when you have data right in front of you.
Yeah.
And now they're like, okay, I see this one came to 380, this one came to 390, this one came to 395. Like, it doesn't make sense to price your house at 450.
Yeah. Yeah. And we built that spreadsheet so that when we put in those comps, it gives us an adjusted price. It's been accurate, about a little bit over 98.5% accuracy over a whole year.
Yep.
And so I tell our agents all the time, our job, this tells you what the house would be worth up to today. Your job is to take these numbers and look at what's active and pending to see where the market's going. That's where a real estate agent really comes into play, right? So we can look at where we should price it compared to what's on the market right today. Second big thing I think we're focusing on in scripts, and our training and in coaching is how to have hard conversations, how to manage expectations, and using like future states, right? You've been in these, situations before. So taking your seller ahead, hey, when we get to this price, if this happens, how do you want me to approach it?
Yeah.
And teaching our agents how to get ahead of things.
Yeah. I think the difficult conversations is probably the number one thing we're focusing on, especially when you're working with buyers and sellers who are navigating a dual move, because they think they're winning on one side and losing on another, right? Because if the market's great for a buyer right now, if you're pitching that to somebody or if that's what you're saying, well, then they're probably like, well, then it's not great for a seller. So sometimes those can be the ones that you're really having to manage expectations with. The buyers and sellers who have a contingency is what I feel like we're spending a lot of time with agents on right now.
Yep.
And how to navigate that and how to also help the clients not only win, but feel like they're getting a win, because they may feel like they're losing somewhere in order to get their dream home. But it's our job to bring them back to the emotional side of things, like you said, of like, hey, you may feel like you're overpaying on this house 10 grand because we have a contingency. So we have to, you know, raise our offer price to be competitive.
Yep.
However, like, look ahead 2 years from now, we haven't been able to find anything that you like. If we miss this opportunity, you don't pay the extra 10 grand, you may be spending an extra 40 grand 2 years from now to find your dream home. How does that sound to you? Your payment could be an extra $200. How will that make you feel?
Yep.
And putting them in that future state of pain of, yes, you may feel like you're paying a little bit more now. Our alternative option would be to sell your house first, but that puts them in a state of pain too, because now they have to move twice. So our job is to help them realize like, where they're at in their position and what leverage they have in the negotiation. And it all looks different based on contingencies, no contingencies. And it's our job to help educate them and guide them throughout that process. And it's going to look so different for every client.
Yep. No, I'm excited because I feel like as we kind of wrap this up, where the market's going, we've been saying for a lot of years, probably 1 year, 2 years, like it's getting more challenging. We're going to start seeing agents exit the business. Mm-hmm. And this year you're seeing really good agents have tough years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now, like we're going to see who did the work the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years of putting systems in play, working on their skill sets, who's been focusing on where the market's going, not where it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to start to see like, you know, the cream of the crop. They're going to rise to the top. The great agents that have been practicing are going to have great years. You got you and Katie are having a phenomenal year. I think you guys are at
83 units. I think Katie's at 40 and I'm at 43 or something. We're pretty neck and neck for the year, which is amazing because a year and a half ago, that was what we hit for the entire year.
Yeah. So to say this is a tough market, it's definitely a tough market, but there's so many great opportunities if you can have the right focus and the right mindset and the right skill sets.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's it for today.
Okay.
You got anything else on wrapping up?
I don't think so. I'm headed to a listing appointment.
Yeah. Go get it. Okay. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right.